Chapter 22. Hear and look serious. As to White, who waits on Holborn Hill to show the courts that are eaten out of Rotten Gray's Inn Lane, where other lodging houses are, and where in one blind alley the thieves' kitchen and seminary for the teaching of the art to children is, the night has so worn away, being now almost at odds with morning, which is which, that they are quiet, and no light shines through the chinks in the shutters. As undistinctive death will come here, one day, sleep comes now. The wicked cease from troubling sometimes, even in this life. Down with the tide. A very dark night it was, and bitter cold, the east wind blowing bleak, and bringing with it stinging particles from marsh, and moor, and fen from the great desert and old Egypt, maybe. Some of the component parts of the sharp-edged vapor that came flying up the Thames at London might be mummy dust, dry atoms from the temple at Jerusalem, camel's footprints, crocodiles hatching places, loosened grains of expression from the visages of blunt-nosed sphinxes, waifs, and strays from caravans of turbaned merchants, vegetation from jungles, frozen snow from the Himalayas. Oh! It was very, very dark upon the Thames, and it was bitter, bitter cold. And yet, apostrophe said the voice within the great peacoat at my side, you'll have seen a good many rivers too, I dare say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, truly, apostrophe said I, when I come to think of it, not a few. From the Niagara, downward to the mountain rivers of Italy, which are like the national spirit very tame, or chafing suddenly and bursting bounds, only to dwindle away again. The Moselle, and the Rhine, and the Rhone, and the Seine, and the Seine, and the St. Lawrence, Mississippi, and Ohio, and the Tiber, the Po, and the Arno, and the, apostrophe, Peacoat coughing, as if he had had enough of that, I said no more. I could have carried the catalogue on to a teasing length, though, if I had been in the cruel mind. And after all, apostrophe said he, this looks so dismal, apostrophe, so awful, apostrophe I returned, at night. The Seine at Paris is very gloomy too, at such a time, and is probably the scene of far more crime and greater wickedness. But this river looks so broad and vast, so murky and silent, seems such an image of death in the midst of the great city's life, that apostrophe, that Peacoat coughed again. He could not stand my holding forth. We were in a four-oared Thames police galley, lying on our oars, in the deep shadow of Southwark Bridge under the corner arch on the Surrey side, having come down with the tide from Vauxhall. We were fain to hold on pretty tight, though close inshore, for the river was swollen, and the tide running down very strong. We were watching certain water rats of human growth, and lay in the deep shade as quiet as mice, our light hidden and our scraps of conversation carried on in whispers. Above us, the massive iron girders of the arch were faintly visible, and below us its ponderous shadow seemed to sink down to the bottom of the stream. We had been lying here some half an hour, with our backs to the wind, it is true, but the wind being in a determined temper blew straight through us, and would not take the trouble to go round. I would have boarded a fire ship, to get into action, and mildly suggested as much to my friend P. No doubt, apostrophe says he as patiently as possible, but shore-going tactics wouldn't do with us. River thieves can always get rid of stolen property in a moment by dropping it overboard. We want to take them with the property, so we lurk about, and come out upon them sharp. If they see us or hear us, over it goes. Apostrophe, P's wisdom being indisputable, there was nothing for it, but to sit there, and be blown through, for another half hour. The water rats thinking it wise to abscond at the end of that time without commission of felony, we shot out, disappointed, with the tide. Grim they look, don't they? Apostrophe, apostrophe said P, seeing me glance over my shoulder at the lights upon the bridge, and downward at their long crooked reflections in the river. Very, apostrophe said I, and make one think with a shudder of suicides. What a night for a dreadful leap from that parapet. apostrophe apostrophe I, but Waterloo's the favorite bridge for making holes in the water from, apostrophe return P. By the by, avast polling, lads. Would you like to speak to Waterloo on the subject? Apostrophe apostrophe my face confessing a surprised desire to have some friendly conversation with Waterloo Bridge, and my friend P being the most obliging of men, we put about, pulled out of the force of the stream, and in place of going at great speed with the tide, began to strive against it, close inshore again. Every color but black seemed to have departed from the world. The air was black, the water was black, the barges and hulks were black, the piles were black, the buildings were black, the shadows were only a deeper shade of black upon a black ground. Here and there, a coal fire in an iron cresset blazed upon a wharf. But, one knew that it too had been black a little while ago, and would be black again soon. Uncomfortable rushes of water suggestive of gurgling and drowning, ghostly rattlings of iron chains, dismal clankings of discordant engines, formed the music that accompanied the dip of our oars, and their rattling in the rowlocks. Even the noises had a black sound to me as the trumpet sounded red to the blind man. Our dexterous boat's crew made nothing of the tide, and pulled us gallantly up to Waterloo Bridge. Here P and I disembarked, passed under the black stone archway, and climbed the steep stone steps. Within a few feet of their summit, P presented me to Waterloo, or an eminent toll-taker representing that structure, muffled up to the eyes, in a thick shawl, and amply great-coated and fur-capped. Waterloo received us with cordiality, and observed of the knight that it was a searcher. Apostrophe he had been originally called the Strand Bridge, he informed us, but had received his present name at the suggestion of the proprietors, when Parliament had resolved to vote £300,000 for the erection of a monument in honor of the victory. Parliament took the hint, said Waterloo, with the least flavor of misanthropy, and saved the money. Of course the late Duke of Wellington was the first passenger, and of course he paid his penny, and of course a noble lord preserved it evermore. The treadle and index at the toll house, a most ingenious contrivance for rendering fraud impossible, were invented by Mr. Lethbridge, then property man at Drury Lane Theatre. Was it suicide, we wanted to know about? Said Waterloo. Ha! Well, he had seen a good deal of that work, he did assure us. He had prevented some. Why, one day a woman, poorish looking, came in between the hatch, slapped down a penny, and wanted to go on without the change. Waterloo suspected this, and says to his mate, give an eye to the gate, apostrophe and bolted after her. She had got to the third seat between the piers, and was on the parapet just a-going over, when he caught her, and gave her in charge. At the police office next morning, she said it was along of trouble and a bad husband. Likely enough, apostrophe observed Waterloo to P and myself, as he adjusted his chin in his shawl. There's a deal of trouble about, you see, and bad husbands too. Apostrophe apostrophe another time, a young woman at 12 o'clock in the open day, got through, darted along, and, before Waterloo could come near her, jumped upon the parapet, and shot herself over sideways. Alarm given, waterman put off, lucky escape. Clothes buoyed her up. This is where it is, apostrophe said Waterloo. If people jump off straight forwards from the middle of the parapet of the base of the bridge, they are seldom killed by drowning, but are smashed, poor things, that's what they are, they dash themselves upon the buttress of the bridge. But you jump off, apostrophe said Waterloo to me, putting his forefinger in a buttonhole of my greatcoat. You jump off from the side of the bay, and you'll tumble, true, into the stream under the arch. What you have got to do, is to mind how you jump in. There was poor Tom Steele from Dublin. Didn't dive. Bless you, didn't dive at all. Fell down so flat into the water, that he broke his breastbone, and lived 2 days. Apostrophe apostrophe, I asked Waterloo, if there were a favorite side of his bridge for this dreadful purpose? He reflected, and thought yes, there was. He should say the Surrey side. Three decent-looking men went through one day, soberly and quietly, and went on abreast for about a dozen yards. When the middle one, he sung out, all of a sudden, here goes, Jack! ... and was over in a minute. Body found? Well, Waterloo didn't rightly recollect about that. They were compositors, they were. He considered it astonishing how quick people were. Why, there was a cab came up one boxing night, with a young woman in it, who looked, according to Waterloo's opinion of her, a little the worse for liquor. Very handsome she was too, very handsome. She stopped the cab at the gate, and said she'd pay the cabman then, which she did, though there was a little hankering about the fare, because at first she didn't seem quite to know where she wanted to be drove to. However, she paid the man, and the toll too, and looking Waterloo in the face, he thought she knew him, don't you see? Said, I'll finish it somehow. ... Well, the cab went off, leaving Waterloo a little doubtful in his mind, and while it was going on at full speed the young woman jumped out, never fell, hardly staggered, ran along the bridge pavement a little way, passing several people, and jumped over from the second opening. At the inquest it was given evidence that she had been quarreling at the hero of Waterloo, and it was brought in jealousy. One of the results of Waterloo's experience was that there was a deal of jealousy about. Do we ever get madmen? ... said Waterloo, in answer to an inquiry of mine. Well, we do get madmen. Yes, we have had one or two, escaped from Sillam's, I suppose. One hadn't a halfpenny, and because I wouldn't let him through, he went back a little way, stooped down, took a run, and butted at the hatch like a ram. He smashed his hat rarely, but his head didn't seem no worse in my opinion on account of his being wrong in it afore. Sometimes people haven't got a halfpenny. If they are really tired and poor, we give 'em one and let 'em through. Other people will leave things, pocket handkerchiefs mostly. I have taken cravats and gloves, pocket knives, toothpicks, studs, shirt pins, rings, generally from young gents, early in the morning, but handkerchiefs is the general thing. ... Regular customers? ... said Waterloo. Lord, yes. We have regular customers. One, such a worn-out, used-up old file as you can scarcely picture, comes from the Surrey side as regular as 10 o'clock at night comes, and goes over, I think, to some flesh house on the Middlesex side. He comes back, he does, as reglar as the clock strikes 3 in the morning, and then can hardly drag one of his old legs after the other. He always turns down the water stairs, comes up again, and then goes on down the Waterloo Road. He always does the same thing, and never varies a minute. Does it every night, even Sundays. ... I asked Waterloo if he had given his mind to the possibility of this particular customer going down the water stairs at 3 o'clock some morning, and never coming up again? He didn't think that of him, he replied. In fact, it was Waterloo's opinion, founded on his observation of that file, that he knowed a trick worth two of it. There's another queer old customer, ... said Waterloo, comes over, as punctual as the almanac, at 11 o'clock on the 6th of January, at 11 o'clock on the 5th of April, at 11 o'clock on the 6th of July, at 11 o'clock on the 10th of October. Drives a shaggy little, rough pony, in a sort of a rattle-trap armchair sort of a thing. White hair he has, and white whiskers, and muffles himself up with all manner of shawls. He comes back again the same afternoon, and we never see more of him for 3 months. He is a captain in the Navy, retired worry old worry odd, and served with Lord Nelson. He is particular about drawing his pension at Somerset House afore the clock strikes 12 every quarter. I have heard say that he thinks it wouldn't be according to the Act of Parliament if he didn't draw it afore 12. apostrophe, having related these anecdotes in a natural manner, which was the best warranty in the world for their genuine nature, our friend Waterloo was sinking deep into his shawl again, as having exhausted his communicative powers, and taken in enough east wind, when my other friend P in a moment brought him to the surface by asking whether he had not been occasionally the subject of assault and battery in the execution of his duty. Waterloo, recovering his spirits, instantly dashed into a new branch of his subject. We learned how both these teeth here, he pointed to the places where two front teeth were knocked out by an ugly customer who one night made a dash at him. Waterloo, while his, the ugly customer's, pal and coadjutor made a dash at the toll-taking apron, where the money pockets were. How Waterloo, letting the teeth go to blazes, he observed indefinitely, grappled with the apron seizer, permitting the ugly one to run away, and how he saved the bank, and captured his man, and consigned him to fine and imprisonment. Also how, on another night, a cove laid hold of Waterloo, then presiding at the horse gate of his bridge, and threw him unceremoniously over his knee, having first cut his head open with his whip. How Waterloo got right, apostrophe, and started after the cove all down the Waterloo Road, through Stamford Street, and round to the foot of Blackfriars Bridge, where the cove cut into a public house. How Waterloo cut into, but how an aider and abettor of the cove's, who happened to be taking a promiscuous drain at the bar, stopped Waterloo, and the cove cut out again, ran across the road down Holland Street, and where not, and into a beer shop. How Waterloo, breaking away from his detainer, was close upon the cove's heels, attended by no end of people, who, seeing him running with the blood streaming down his face, thought something worse was up, apostrophe, and roared fire and murder, on the hopeful chance of the matter in hand being one or both. How the cove was ignominiously taken, in a shed where he had run to hide, and how at the police court they at first wanted to make a sessions job of it, but eventually Waterloo was allowed to be apostrophe spoke to, apostrophe, and the cove made it square with Waterloo, by paying his doctor's bill. W was laid up for a week, and giving him 3.10. Apostrophe. Likewise, we learned what we had faintly suspected before, that the sporting amateur on the Derby day, albeit a captain, can be, if he be, apostrophe, as Captain Bobbittle observes, so generously minded anything but a man of honor and a gentleman, not sufficiently gratifying his nice sense of humor by the witty scattering of flour and rotten eggs on obtuse civilians, but requiring the further excitement of bilking the toll, apostrophe, and pitching into Waterloo, and cutting him about the head with his whip, apostrophe, finally being, when called upon to answer for the assault, what Waterloo described as minus, apostrophe, or, as I humbly conceived it, not to be found. Likewise did Waterloo inform us, in reply to my inquiries, admiringly and deferentially preferred through my friend P, that the takings at the bridge had more than doubled in amount since the reduction of the toll one half. And being asked if the aforesaid takings included much bad money, Waterloo responded, with a look far deeper than the deepest part of the river, he should think not, and so retired into his shawl for the rest of the night. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.